Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. The show is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area with clients all across the country. To learn more about the firm and its attorneys, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com. Also, I invite you to subscribe to my blog, blueprintforwealth.org, where you can access videos, articles, and audio topics of interest in tax, estate, and business planning. And lastly, please read my column in the Washington Business Journal entitled Blueprint for Wealth once a month. Today, we're going to be talking about the factors that you are going to face, and particularly mistakes that can be made as a successor trustee over a revocable trust that you may have created during your lifetime. There are factors that you need to consider before we get into the mistakes that people make. There are factors that you need to consider when you're appointing somebody to serve as a trustee over your trust after you're gone. Remember, a trust is a relationship between property and a person. The trustee is the person who's responsible for managing the property and making decisions regarding its distribution after you're gone for the benefit of somebody, your kids, your grandkids, other heirs. So in looking for a trustee, you need to look at somebody's willingness to serve. So you really should ask them ahead of time before appointing them in the capacity as a successor trustee. You also want to inquire as to the level of conflict or hostility or animosity or strain on family harmony that will be imposed by putting that person in charge of the trust. You also want to evaluate their honesty and integrity and their financial responsibility, impartiality, and their competence and expertise in terms of managing money and handling important issues that are going to be important not only for you if you become incapacitated, but what happens after you're gone and will the beneficiaries benefit from having this person serve as a trustee. Here are some of the biggest mistakes that people make in serving as a trustee following, say, your death if you've created a revocable trust. Number one, failing to follow the terms of the trust or your intent that you expressed in your trust. This is basically what we call a breach of fiduciary duty to administer the trust, for which the trustee can be held personally liable and in some cases criminally liable, but I can't tell you how many times I've seen a trust written a particular way, and then somebody who is appointed as a successor trustee, it could be one of your kids, could be a sibling, comes in and basically abuses the trust, does not follow the terms of the trust. And that is something that the beneficiaries can sue the successor trustee for. Number two, failing to investigate, locate, and take possession of trust property as well as accounting for all debts, as well as insuring trust properties. These failures are very serious breaches of a fiduciary duty of care that the trustee owes to the beneficiary. The trustee has a duty to take and keep in control the trust property. It's probably the single most important duty that a trustee has that arises at the inception of the successor's tenure as a trustee. So upon your death, what is the trustee supposed to do? He's supposed to go in and gather the assets, make sure that an inventory is taken, taking actual possession of that property, and doing whatever is necessary to protect that property for the benefit of the beneficiaries of the trust. Number three, failing to administer the trust with reasonable dispatch. This is another breach of fiduciary duty. It's a breach of the duty to properly administer the trust. In other words, a trustee has an obligation to administer the trust not only in accordance with the terms, what's written in the trust agreement, but also in a reasonably prompt and efficient manner. So just sitting back and not doing anything could be as harmful to the beneficiaries as going in and taking action and doing it wrong. Number four, failure to separate trust assets from the trustee's personal assets, known as commingling of assets. This is another breach of fiduciary duty that a trustee would commit. The duty is to keep trust property separate. This may occur after the trustee has a right as a beneficiary to accept property under the trust, but is also acting as a trustee for the benefit of somebody else, like a child or a grandchild. If there are no other trust beneficiaries, no other siblings, no other children, it may not be that big of a deal. But the trustee always needs to keep in mind that there are potential or future or contingent trust beneficiaries that may come into the picture, and they could include creditors of the beneficiary in the future. So making sure that you're protecting the assets and keeping them separate from your own is absolutely critical. Number five, failing to invest the trust assets and comply with the prudent investor rule. Now, this is also a breach of fiduciary duty to what we call prudently invest trust assets. A trust creator or a trust grantor may have included instructions in the trust document to invest assets in a particular way. It may include a waiver of some of the rules under the so-called Uniform Prudent Investor Act, which is active in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Alternatively, the trust may be silent regarding how the trust assets are to be invested. If the trust is silent or includes specific provisions, the trustee has to be aware of what these provisions are and has to ensure that the assets are properly diversified and invested and allocated to different investment classes in accordance with the prudent investor rule. This is a really frequently overlooked provision in trust agreements, and trustees often think that they can invest in anything at any time. You've got to make sure that you read the trust agreement to make sure that you're not doing something that's in violation not only of the agreement, but also of the Uniform Prudent Investor Act. Number six on top trustee, successor trustee mistakes is the failure to keep beneficiaries informed of what's going on. Now, this would be the breach of duty to keep and render accounts for the benefit of the beneficiaries. In addition to the failure to keep them informed about what's happening inside the trust, the negligent trustee often fails to provide information about the trust, including providing an accounting of all inflows and all outflows in and out of the trust during your tenure as the trustee. In really serious cases, the grantor in the trust document may request that the provisions of the trust be kept private. This doesn't obviate the need or do away with the need to present trust accountings to the beneficiaries, meaning that in all jurisdictions, if a beneficiary wants you to account as the trustee for what's going on inside the trust, he or she usually has the right to demand that, and you have to provide them with an accurate accounting. Not just providing them with bank statements, but explanations of what the money is being spent on as well as how it's being invested. Another major mistake that successors trustees often make is what I would call creative accounting. What I'm referring to is that sometimes trustees get creative and make payments to relatives or other cronies that they may make for unsubstantiated quote-unquote work or unintelligible explanations for actions that are taken or expenditures that are made or payments for items with no payee listed in the accounting. This would be a breach of fiduciary duty of loyalty to the trust. In other words, the trustee is not allowed to use trust assets for the trustee's personal gain other than paying reasonable compensation to the trustee for work done. And these are creative accounting schemes that some people come up with can lead to terrible results for the trustees as well as the beneficiaries. Number eight, failure to engage the services of and follow the advice of competent professionals. Having practiced in this area for 30 years, I can tell you that this is one of the most common problems, is that people don't want to spend the money on a lawyer or an accountant. And so they'll go and they think that they're doing the right thing when in fact they may be doing the absolute wrong thing. This would be a breach of duty, by the way, on the part of the trustee to exercise reasonable care and skill over the trust. For example, if a trustee is not an expert in matters relating to trust law or accounting, it makes common sense, but it's prudent for the trustee to hire a lawyer and an accountant and use reasonable care to choose the right professional for the job. So just hiring any lawyer, the family lawyer who might be a general practitioner who litigates in court but has never done an accounting in his life, may not be the best choice for the lawyer for the trust. Also, when professionals give advice to a trustee, the trustee really has an obligation to follow that advice if it's prudent advice, unless the advice is patently wrong. Number 9 on the list, taking excessive compensation or excessive fees, or otherwise engaging what we call self-dealing transactions with the trust. Self-dealing and certain other actions are breaches of the duty of loyalty to the trust and the beneficiaries. For example, if a trustee takes a fee in excess of what is allowed under state law or what is considered reasonable, the trustee will be personally liable to reimburse the trust and therefore the beneficiaries for that excess. Also, oftentimes trustees make unauthorized loans or loans without adequate interest or securities. That is self-dealing that is actionable by the beneficiaries. Lastly, failure to prepare and file income tax returns, state returns, and fund the trusts and subtrusts properly. Again, go to your professionals. Ask for their advice in how to do all of these things, and don't try to do it yourself because it may end up costing you twice as much to correct the errors that may have been made. If you've got questions on how to properly administer a trust, give us a call at 703-218-2100 and we'll be happy to answer your questions. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth.